Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I think in this particular year and this particular season, most people would concede that the two deepest conferences, top to bottom, respectively, would be the Big Ten and the Big East. Well, last night, another example in the Big East. Creighton took on Seton Hall last night, and Creighton was able to beat the Hall in her play-by-play call of the day.
Alexander inbounds in the backcourt to Mahoney. Now off to Zagorowski with Reynolds on it. Passes up top to Mahoney. His three, good! A killer from Denzel Mahoney. A wide-open three, 78-74 Creighton.
Final was 87-82 last night as Creighton beat Seton Hall at the Prudential Center last night. All right, so let's get to Penn State basketball. It's going to be a dynamic day-night doubleheader coming up on Saturday with the nightcap being Penn State wrestling, second in the country against number 3 Ohio State at 7:30. We'll have Jeff Byers on the show tomorrow. The opening half will be at noon when Penn State, ranked 13th in the nation, looks for its eighth straight win when they take on Northwestern. And here in the Sunbury Motors studio, Mark Brennan from 24/7 Sports and Fight on State.
You know where he really came up? Rucker Park.
Rucker Park, exactly.
And then he was a guy from Long Island who went into the city and kind of proved himself there.
And then from there, he goes to UMass. You know, you see all the flying.
Curry Hicks Cage.
Yeah, Curry Hicks Cage. You see all the flying dunks. The rule was in at the time in college basketball, you could not dunk.
You know the other story about Dr. J there? When he was a freshman, freshmen were ineligible. Yeah. So they had essentially JV games, freshman team games, and the Curry Hicks Cage would be jam-packed
sold out
for the freshman game, and then everybody would leave for the varsity game because Dr. J was not allowed to play.
That happened at LSU with Pete Maravich, right? Maravich, they come out. Maravich, great. They go into the old Ag Arena.
Maravich's numbers. Phew.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a young person, go look up Pete Maravich's scoring numbers and then look at them, absorb them. What was he, like career 38 points or something?
No, no.
40?
44.
Yeah. And then realize there was no three-point basket.
No three-point line. No three-point line.
And this was in the SEC. I mean, he was playing against legit competition.
No three-point line. And not only that, he averaged like 7 assists a game. Oh, he had the long hair, the floppy socks. Well, actually, in the college, he didn't have the long hair.
No.
He had the floppy socks, right? And he could pass between the legs, behind the back, any kind of pass. He influenced a lot of kids as to how they wanted to play the game. They wanted to play the game like Pistol Pete.
He influenced every kid in my hometown of Hazleton. And the other thing he was famous for that people tend to realize, you remember Mendy Rudolph with the horse competitions at halftime. And go watch them on YouTube and watch Pete Maravich take down George Gervin. I mean, it's like one person after another because Pete went into it with a plan. So he would throw the ball one hand over his back, catch it with the other hand, reverse over the backboard, jump from out of bounds under the backboard, flip it in, all these shots that nobody else can do because they never practice. He was nuts enough to practice that. Nobody could beat him in horse.
His dad was actually...
Press
Maravich was actually... And actually, Pete Maravich grew up in was born in Western Pennsylvania, right? And his dad was actually a very good coach in his own right at Wake Forest, NC State, and then was on his way at LSU. But then the problem he had was in coaching his kid... He then became so absorbed in coaching his kid, he really did it at the expense of everybody else. And that's how LSU kind of came off the rails.
Old-time basketball.
Yeah. That's it for your day in sports history. That feels like a great place to end.
Something. But as Western, I think Al Equipa, I think.
Yeah.
I think Pete Maravich, Al Equipa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, All right. And Mark Brennan, you heard his voice already. He's joining us here. Mark, great to have you with us as always.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Okay. What are a couple of the common threads during a seven-game streak that you're seeing that are causing the level of success Penn State is having?
I think number one is the overall level of defense that they're playing. Now, listen, there are times when it's slipped, but they've played well enough in spots that it's given them enough of a margin that teams have not been able to kind of come back. I think when we look ahead to this weekend's game against Northwestern, the job they're doing defending the arc, I mean, what they did against Purdue, to me, that wasn't just Purdue missing shots, and that was a Purdue team that you would know the numbers, whatever they did against Iowa. Was it 17 of whatever?
19. They hit 19,
yeah.
And they were averaging 10 made threes per home game.
And they were 0-for-9 in the first half. And
yeah.
That's you don't chalk that up to guys just shooting poorly. Penn State is athletic enough that they're able to kind of get after it. And then I think they've kind of mitigated some of the damage that teams have been doing earlier in the season with offensive rebounding against them. It's still an issue at times, mm-hmm. but I think they've picked it up. But the thing that I've seen, Steve, and I was thinking about this driving over, you know, to me, you obviously have to win on the road to have a seven-game winning streak.
Yeah.
And the difference to me with this team and every other team we've seen is that when things start to go haywire in the second half on the road, they are level-headed. So things may get away, and fans may be pulling their hair out when Purdue cuts it to whatever, or when Michigan State cuts it to whatever, and there's nearly a turnover. But when push comes to shove, they're able to level things out. And I think that speaks to the veteran players they have. I mean, you have Lamar Stevens. You know, Mike Watkins isn't there at the end of games a lot because I don't think they're comfortable with what he can do with ball screen defense. But Jamari Wheeler, John Hara, you know, these guys have all played a lot of basketball. Curtis Jones has played a lot of basketball in a lot of big arenas. Brockington has been around. So you have all these guys. And it really takes me back to 2001, and I'll never forget this game because Penn State was at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. It was early January. There were 3 feet of snow on the ground, and the students' school was not in, but somehow that arena was jam-packed. And at halftime, you would remember the number better than I do, but I think Penn State was up by 12.
Yeah.
And that's the most veteran team that we had seen. You know, arguably some of those teams in the early 90s with Freddie and Money, those were veteran teams. But when you had the Crispins, Titus Ivory, Jazzy, you know, those guys, they're up 12 at the half. And I remember doing a halftime show with you, and I think maybe it was Frank, and it was like, wow, I think they're going to pull this thing off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they proceeded to get blown out by 25 in the second
right.
half.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, that was against the Michigan State team with Jason Richardson, and who was the big guy? The freshman at the time.
Zach Randolph.
That was a great team. And granted, Penn State came back and beat that team in a Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
But that was a veteran team mm-hmm. that found itself going sideways in the second half and completely imploded. Mm-hmm. This team is not doing that. And I think that's a sign of two things. Number one, the veteran players we talked about. And number two, anybody wants to complain about Patrick Chambers, he's been doing you have to give credit where credit's due because they're getting it done on the road in difficult situations, and that's not an easy thing to do. I would like to know the last time, haven't had a chance to look it up, but I'll bet you that you know, the last time somebody beat Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue on the road in their houses in the same season.
I mean, the only one I think of right away would be Michigan State.
Yeah, but when?
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying which team beat all three of those on in road games?
Yeah.
I mean, it has – I'll look it up. I'll try to figure it out. I think they had the wrong info on BTN the other night saying that Indiana was the last team to get Michigan State and Michigan on the road in the same year. I think it was Iowa, like in 16.
Mm-hmm.
But to have those three teams
yeah.
as well as they play at home.
As Dick Girardi phrased it the other night, as only Dick can, the superfecta.
It's if you think about that from the horse racing perspective, if you were to put a nickel on that before the season, you probably would have won $1 million.
Right.
I mean, it's like insane to think.
It is. And then there, of course, is the steadying presence of Lamar Stevens. When you have a, when you have, quote, your star go out and be a willing passer,
that's,
what does that tell you, and how does that permeate to the rest of any given team?
Yeah, well, I think that Lamar has shown that from the beginning of the season,
mm-hmm.
where he's allowed, and it's not allowed. I mean, he's kind of, hey, listen, let's get everybody involved.
Well, he's let the game come to him. He's done. This is what they're doing? Okay, I can do this.
But he's seen what isolation ball can do to a team in a negative way when you just give one guy the ball. And, I don't mean to knock Tony Carr, but a lot of times a few years ago, their offense
was... He was just here Monday.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, a lot of times, and he was a great player.
Mm-hmm.
But that's difficult for the rest of your teammates. So they're... You know, a couple of the key things, Steve, that I think with Lamar, number one, exactly what you said. He takes what teams are giving him. But number two, I also think the coaching staff has done a great, great job of limiting his minutes when they can.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes into the Minnesota game averaging less than 30 minutes per game on the year. Compared to previous seasons, where their best player was playing 36, 37, 30, with Tony Carr was like, 38, 39 minutes a game.
That's what Lamar was last year.
So why is that important? That's important because now when you need him for 38 minutes against Minnesota, you could play him for 38 minutes and not feel bad about it.
Right.
And then you turn around, and now what's going to happen at Purdue? They're going to say, we are not letting Lamar Stevens beat us. And how many shots did he take in that game? I mean, 7, 9, something ridiculously low for him.
He took 9.
Yeah, he was like 4 of 9. But so ridiculously low for him.
He had 5 assists.
Right. And then at the end of the game, he makes all but, a couple free throws.
Yeah.
So those are the things that, you know, I also love this that, you know, I'm hearing this stuff about people saying, boy, there's no great one-and-done freshman this year. Enjoy this season. You have some veteran players who are making this one of the greatest seasons of all time. And this is an instance where Lamar was a borderline guy coming out last year. He makes the decision to come back. This is Exhibit A of why. This is what people should be talking about. Cassius Winston. I mean, this is what
Anthony Cowan.
Yeah, this is what people should be talking about.
And I've talked about that all season long. About, hey, look, these guys all came back.
And that's why the season's great.
The league is older. College basketball this year is older. Well, because it's older, it's actually more competitive.
Have you ever seen a Big Ten season like this?
No.
I haven't. I mean, and sometimes we tend to think about the things that have happened most recently and forget stuff that happened. But this Big Ten tournament is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, well.
It's going to be super fun because you're going to get rid of the two really bad teams probably early on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on,
it's
going to be absolute madness. It's going to be so much fun.
Any one of 12 teams could win it.
Right.
Any one of 12 teams could win it. The other night, Penn State, of course, comes out, hits threes. And that's in part because Purdue's doubling the post. Well, they're going to double the post. You can go outside. Now, you have to hit the shot, obviously. Your offense certainly feels a lot better when the ball's going in. So in the second half, Matt Painter has to commit to the perimeter.
Right.
And Pat changed. Now, what does that – okay, again.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody wants to rip a coach when things aren't going well. I think when things are going well – I mean, you know, when you have Neil Riddell tweeting that Pat Chambers is squarely in the mix for National Coach of the Year. Now, I love Neil, but if he's saying that, now if Corey Geiger ends up saying it, then we'll really know.
No, I think there'll be people passed out.
You know what his the other thing though, Steve, when you know, sometimes moves work and sometimes they don't. But when the decision to change the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That's been unlike anything I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think the unsung hero on this team, because I don't think Jamari Wheeler's an unsung hero anymore.
No.
I think anybody who knows basketball watches a game and realizes.
Especially opposing point guards.
But I think John Hara, to me, you know, whatever his plus minus was last game, I would throw that to the side and just look at what he did. And you know what he's doing? He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's making shots inside.
Yep.
He made a little 10, 15, 12-footer, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting his body on opposing big men.
Yeah.
A lot of players, a lot of big guys, a lot of basketball players want no part of that physicality.
No.
He's rebounding when he has to, and then he's allowing Mike Watkins to come in. And when Mike Watkins is okay, fine. But if Mike Watkins is having a bad day, like he did against Minnesota, you can lean on Hara. But that move, a lot of times, you know, those sorts of moves, when you take a Watkins and a Dredd out of the starting lineup
mm-hmm.
and replace them with Hara and Lundy, maybe that works. But we've seen in the past where that just, then everything goes really downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think you have to give Watkins and I think you have to give Dredd
mm-hmm.
a ton of credit. And one other thing, I mean, when we have, during games, we have in-game threads. And it's just by nature that people are watching it, and they're, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And, you know, when they're doing well, it's fun. It really is fun. And I would encourage anybody to check it out if you want to see the most intense Penn State basketball fans. But what I will say is there have been a lot of people who are really like, why is he still playing Miles Dredd? And I'm like, why would you not? Sooner or later, you are going to need this guy. Sooner or later. And if you're in a position where you can afford to play him when he's struggling, let him try to work his way through it, so long as he's doing everything else he needs to do. And he is. He's passing the ball.
His defense is excellent.
Right. And it's not just playing defense, Steve. It's who he's defending.
Yeah.
He's 6'4", 215, and he's often asked to guard a 6'8", 6'9 guy.
And he's stabilizing the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, now let's get to the other part. In the seven-game winning streak, he's hitting 43% of his threes.
And that's why you don't give up on a player. But the other guy, I mean, I think, listen, the fact that Lamar Stevens came back, I think that is going to end up making Seth Lundy much better player long run.
I was talking to Kevin Kugler the other day, and I said, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I said, Lundy'd be playing 38 minutes a game.
And he'd be struggling at this point.
I said, and now, I said, he's in a spot where he can excel. And then next year is going to be a better player because of it.
Right. Because he is not forced to do something he's not ready to do.
Right.
And you're seeing it. I mean, this kid's making money shots.
He's a good player.
But then, the other beauty of it is, and, you know, I think against Minnesota, Lundy and Watkins combined for like 10 or 12 points.
Right.
So that's when you talk about the depth.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. To be able to go out and get a guy like Brockington and get a guy like Curtis Jones, who are elite athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may not be the tallest guys,
but
they move extremely well. And to bring those guys off the bench, that's when you're really a headache for everybody else.
Well, this goes back, and I've said this forever, so this is not going to be foreign territory. I said one of the more important things that Penn State can do in basketball is try to be more often than not the older team. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
This is the older team. After being 313 in experience a year ago, 313, okay, now you're seeing what an older team can do.
They're also almost in every game, and I'm not saying every game, I'm saying almost in every game, the more athletic team.
Oh.
Not the bigger team. You know, there are teams that are bigger.
I'll be honest with you. Even Michigan State, they were the more athletic
team. And that's what I'm saying. You know, that has not been the case. And that's where, again, when you look at a team, and you almost feel for Northwestern and what they're going through because they lost some veteran players, Pardon and who was a couple of the older guards that they had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, guys who had been around.
Bryant McIntosh. You know,
yeah.
And McIntosh is a good example, like for Chris Collins. His best offer was Indiana State. And then Chris Collins gets him, and it turns out he is a heck of a player. But after 4 years, I mean, everybody has to go.
But even when they were playing well and got to the tournament,
you
never got the sense that they had the athletic ability to make a long run. And
right.
I think that's the thing with this team is they have the depth and the athletic ability. Now, will they do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But they have the tools to do it, which I think is key. And I think you have to give the coaching staff credit. You know, you know, they ended up losing Bolton to
Iowa State,
and has anybody even mentioned his name?
No, because Curtis Jones stepped in
right this season. And obviously because Myron Jones is playing as well as he's playing.
6 20-point games yeah. for Myron Jones.
So you lose a guy, a player of that caliber who is pretty athletic himself, and it's, and I think that speaks to the job that they've done recruiting, obviously.
Back with more after this.
Sunbury Motors Ford is coming off with their best-selling year in its 105-year history. SMC is committed to Ford Motor Company to sell 1,000 new Fords in 2020. Wow! Pick from 25 of the totally redesigned 2020 Ford Escapes. And they start as low as $21,960. Take up to $7,500 off MSRP of the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer. And they're priced from just $33,965. Sunbury Motors is Central PA's truck capital. Choose from over 120 Ford F-150s and Super Duties. Super Duty. The F-Series truck has been the number one selling vehicle for 43 consecutive years, and SMC has them on sale for as low as $26,794. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley's transportation needs for over a century.
All right, final half hour coming up. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Fun News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. If you're a Yankees fan, your anger was ratcheted up a little bit more today.
I think everybody discovered that in my show open.
Just remember, Carlos Beltran worked for you, too. Okay.
You're right.
If I am an organization, I don't want to be the glass house here. I'd be very careful about how bold I am about what I'm saying. It's also very hard for the world to accept the Yankees as a victim. Just like it would be very hard for the world to accept the Red Sox or the Patriots as victims. Fair?
Absolutely.
And Carlos Beltran worked for the Yankees. There were already insinuations made about Beltran in the London series. Doesn't mean they're true. Didn't say they were true, but they were insinuations.
And if they were, I would be the first to say, Steve, as a Yankee fan, that they should be ridiculed just as badly, if not worse, as the Astros have been.
I'm a Red Sox fan. Have I been anything but
exactly
blunt about it? What
yeah.
the heck? It's like, can't tolerate that. Like, the sport's got a big problem right now. And this is not going away anytime soon. I love baseball. I love everything. I love football. I love basketball. I love hockey. I love baseball. I'm really lucky. You have no idea. When I'm driving to an airport, when I'm driving to University Park Airport, I have to go by the Jordan Center, Beaver Stadium, and Medler Field, Lebrano Park, all at the same time. It's all right in that area. I drive right past them. I look at all three of them and think how lucky I am, how fortunate I am to broadcast all three sports. I know the State College Spikes are not Penn State football. But in the summertime, it is perfect for me, and I love broadcasting baseball. And that's why I can't stand, at times, how the thing is run. you know, the cheating thing, then how it's handled. You just shake your head, and they can't get out of their own way. I mean, today, I mean, you played back the cuts, Matt. The Astros didn't come off very good.
No. Owners, coaches, players, everybody.
Unreal. You know, it's, again, that's what happens when handlers get a hold of you. And, you know, it's I'll say this about handlers. I feel most of the time they're stealing money. It's just me. I'll handle it myself. If I make a mistake, it's my fault. It's already my fault to begin with, isn't it? Yeah. But between the PED thing and now this, first of all, let's give some credit where credit is due to Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball. And when I say give them some credit where credit is due, you know, they fined the maximum $5 million. They took away draft choices. They suspended Hinch and Luno. And eventually Jim Crane, within hours, fired Hinch and Luno. They're investigating the Red Sox. They're not ready with that report yet. It'll be interesting to see what they want to do with it. You know, how, you know, what they found out about the Red Sox, about Cora, about, you know, I mean, Ron Renicki was named the interim manager. I think the hope is you know, that he has zero involvement. That way they can stick with him as the interim manager for the upcoming season. The guy has managerial experience, was the bench coach, so forth. And then we'll see about that. That'll be the next shoe to fall. But if you think for a moment that the Astros weren't the only ones, or the Red Sox, those are the only two. I said this on day one, be very careful about mouthing off about your team, unless you're a Marlins fan. There's, I mean...
Or even the Pirates, for that matter, right now.
Yeah, Pirates fans, I mean, you know, it's one of two things. Either they didn't cheat or they're just really bad at it. I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, and I'm not sure which one is more embarrassing.
True. That.
We could debate that. I'll never forget one time when Ole Miss, this is like 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, Ole Miss was put on probation by the NCAA in football. It's like 30 years ago. Right? And they were 3-8. 4-7, 3-8. And I said, geez, they're not even good at cheating. How bad do you have to be when you're cheating and you still can't win? So right now, you know, and then they put out that ridiculous playoff format thing. Now, if baseball were to announce, hey, we'd like to expand by two teams, you know, because Portland, Oregon really is very well organized. They want to get one. Charlotte, North Carolina, they've been... Portland's the most organized of everybody, without question. Portland, Oregon, they're really organized in their expansion pitch. Charlotte, North Carolina, say they want to expand by two teams and then go to four divisions and take the division winners, which gives you weight. Then take two wild card teams in each, whatever. Okay, which now gets you to 12, you know. Or if you want to go to 14, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Okay? And that's what you wanted to do. Okay. Yeah, it would be exciting. You'd be getting, you know, two new teams in there, more job opportunities, an expanded playoff. It looks good. It sounds good. The whole thing, it's all positive. Then they put out instead of doing that, they put out this playoff plan where they're going to do it like a reality TV show as to who you play in the opening round. Like, what in the hell? Who the heck came up with that? I mean, who actually sat down in a conference room, and threw out ideas? And everybody in the room said, that's it. Okay? All the people that put their hands up should be done. That plan makes no sense. And, of course, they put it out at a time when the Astros thing's going on because they're trying to distract and deflect from the Astros thing. So you get criticized on two fronts. Your playoff plan looks stupid, and the Astros had to meet with the media. It's been another bad week. And I love baseball. That's the part that hurts, is that I've loved this sport since I was a kid. I grew up on football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. That's how I grew up. Though, I mean, I couldn't get enough of any of those sports. Couldn't. Then I started watching a lot more golf, because you started watching the Masters, the U.S. Open, and I started watching golf. It was a long period of time I was really into tennis. I still watch some tennis, not quite the way I used to. But now I see what these guys are doing. Let's see. Who do we have here? Is it Chaz? Is that who it is?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey,
hello.
Chaz, how are you today? Thanks for holding. Appreciate it, bud.
Well, I'm doing really well. I want to say I listen to your show regularly. I enjoy the topics. I enjoy the guests. Appreciate everything you do. You could do a little bit more wrestling would be up my alley, but I understand we're probably not up there with football.
Well, we're going to have Jeff Byers. Chaz, quickly, we're going to have Jeff Byers on tomorrow about Penn State wrestling. We already have him lined up tomorrow. Okay.
Well, fantastic. I'll be listening.
He'll be on at 3:35 tomorrow. Okay, Chaz?
Yep. I think he does a great job with wrestling commentary broadcasting.
Yes, he does.
He's fun to listen to.
Yes.
Keeps everybody well informed as to what's happening.
Yep.
I don't want to mess up your radio show by turning it into a political thing, but, you know, when the leader of the free world is one of the best cheaters out there, it's hard for those people who don't have that kind of responsibility not to follow his lead.
I don't think the Houston Astros clubhouse sat there and thought, you know, that between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell that we're going to come up with a trash can banging scandal here as to who's throwing a slider. I don't really think that came into play.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure.
I think they sat there and said, hey, I think we can do this. And if you bang the trash can three times, it's a slider. I think that probably had more to do with it than the leader of the free world or Vladimir Putin, whomever it is. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Vladimir called up and said, hey, guys, try that.
And also they looked at each other and go, man, no wonder he runs this country with an iron fist. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
What strikes me about this, Chaz, is that they acquired in the 2017 season in August Justin Verlander. Now I know coming into a new team you don't want to, you know, wreck the apple cart, okay? Because, you know, you're the new guy. But he's a veteran, and he's a pitcher. I mean, you didn't step up and look at everybody and say, hey, yo, guys, I've been down this road before. I've been to World Series. Are you sure you guys want to do this? Because, I mean, I'm a pitcher.
Yeah. The last thing the pitcher wants that batter to know is what's coming.
Yeah.
That's part of his expertise is – I got to keep those guys guessing every time.
Yeah. I see this, and look, people get desperate when they're trying to win something, anything. Okay, I don't care what it is. And when you get desperate, I think that's when you start crossing lines. And of course, the Astros had never won before. And, you know, Carlos Beltran's name is mentioned prominently in here. He'd never won before. So I don't know. I also think they should be stripping all video technology out of dugouts. The only ones that should have access to it are up in the luxury suites and a fifth umpire up top.
Yeah, I've heard your discussion, and I agree with that. It's become too big of an advantage to put that information right there into the dugout, into the player's hands.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the discussion yesterday about, you know, if you were able to somehow monitor the discussion between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator or whoever's running the offense mm-hmm. on the sidelines, you know, that would be a tremendous advantage to the defense to know what's coming every time.
Absolutely. So. Oh, I mean, absolutely. And you see, for example, they try, for example, in football to do a lot of misdirection on – you know, on what your play calling happens to be. You know, you'll see people hold up cards, and the cards sometimes mean something, sometimes they don't. You know, it's like, you know, because they're trying to fake out the opposing team. I mean, you got the point now where offensive coordinators or head coaches hold the card up in front of their mouth and they're talking because they think people are reading lips.
Well, exactly. And, you know, they spend all these hours studying film and researching tendencies. So part of the strategy for all the coaches is to somehow break a tendency. Don't do what they're expecting.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you're exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I sure appreciate all you guys do. Love the radio show. Love
Thank
Penn
you,
State
Chase.
Football and everything that goes with it. Hope you have a great day.
And we're going to have wrestling on for you tomorrow, Chaz, okay? All right. What a great call that was. I really appreciate it. He had a great perspective. And he's right about, you know, he's right about, you know, the people get, they get to that line and they just get desperate and they feel like they have to somehow come up with whatever advantage. I think it's up to each sport now in a technology-driven society. In fact, I mean, I feel like I'm distracting Matt now from looking at his cell phone. I mean, I know what the top of the suit's head looks like because every time I'm talking to him, he's looking at his phone. I can only see the top of his head. I've got important calls here. I've got to sell a lot of stuff. And he's actually looking at the daily racing form. But that's a different thing. All right. But we're so technology-driven now. I mean, the NFL, you'll see all the Microsoft surfaces on the sidelines. You're only allowed, and Chaz listened to the show yesterday. He knows what I'm about to say. You can only see still pictures. I think they need to strip out technology from dugouts and so forth. I mean, look, when a coach makes a challenge in basketball, or they look, you know, they ask them to look at a replay when they're allowed to do it. They're doing it on gut feel. They don't have anybody calling down to them to tell them to do it. That's part of managing. It's part of coaching. Let's take it back to a baseball manager for a moment. If your gut tells you that I think a hit and run's going to work, you try it. Well, it's got to be the same thing that when you look at that play at first base and it's close, my gut tells me I got to challenge it. Okay? No help. Your gut has to tell you whether you should do it or not. It's your move. I don't like the fact that in the NFL they'll call down, throw the flag. Nah, you're the coach. you tell me whether you ought to throw the flag. It's your call. And baseball's going to be the same way. How, you know, it's all the time you look in the dugout, and they'll be looking back, and they'll go, yeah, okay, we're going to challenge it. Because some guy looking at the monitor, no monitors. You lost the right to monitors by what's happened with this. You've got to strip away all the technology. If you want video to take a look at swings, you know, whether your pitcher is releasing too high, too low, leg bend isn't right, whatever, fine. Take a TV video later and take a look at it and go through it with the pitcher, but you've lost the right to do it yourself. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So I was telling Matt during the break that no laptop today to look up anything. I've got another computer anyway. Yeah, I got one of those updates. And it's an extensive one. And it's taken over 2 hours to update. Well, I was about to come over here and it wasn't done updating yet, so I left it someplace else. I said, I'll pick it up after the show's over with, because I said, I'm not going to start over. No way. Hey, Chaz wants more wrestling on the show, and we're going to come up with that tomorrow. How about that? Jeff Byers will be on to preview Penn State, Ohio State. That'll be at 7:30 on Saturday night in the Jordan Center. Number 2, Penn State. Number 3, Ohio State. And also, tomorrow on the show, Mike Muscala will join us. Tonight, the first part of that day-night doubleheader is Penn State basketball. The 13th-ranked Nittany Lions against Northwestern. Patrick Chambers and the head coach of the second-ranked Penn State men's lacrosse team, Jeff Tambroni, on the show tonight. Everywhere in turn, we're talking to ranked coaches. Kind of fun. Oh, it isn't kind of fun. It is fun. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.